All right. Here we are. Welcome, everybody. This is Kirsten Hansen. I have Mark Warmke and Bill O'Haron. We are doing our weekly riff where we are speaking about legacy and the men creating the new future in a new way. So very excited for our topics. We just had back what, the green room conversations? Is that what they used to call it in the day? The green room? Yeah. Remember that? Mm-hmm. So we had green room conversations. Mark, Bill, hello.
Hi. I'm glad. You always do a good job sending us off. Appreciate you. So I'm super curious to know what we're diving into today, because I always have a fun time talking with you guys and pulling apart complex subjects. So I'm curious.
Likewise, I think the topic that we threw out there, and tell me if this works and we can go anywhere because it always does, is what type of man do you believe the future requires?
Interesting.
I'd be curious. We need a couple women on here to answer this too.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been doing a lot of deep thinking lately about like my path as a human being while I exist here. And I've allowed life to get really super, you know, life is really complex. You know, you can ask somebody, how are you? And it can be literally a 2 second answer, I'm fine, with no depth, or a 2 hour answer with crazy depth. And so things are incredibly complex if you truly devote the time and energy to them. But when they get so complex, it's hard for me to stay in a lane. So recently I had the blessing of what felt like a real download from God, and got a little moment of clarity. And it came down to three things for me. So the three things that I would say that is an ideal man is somebody that's on the path. Well, what's the path? Well, I think there's three lanes to the path. The path is, number one, to be creators. And I think we have this huge misunderstanding about that we're creators. You know, if you lose your keys and you find them, you just created a solution. You made nothing essentially be something different because of your own free will. That's the act of creation. And so we're in the act of creation as creator beings on a constant basis, and we have an obligation, and we have like this crazy drive to keep doing it. So God put it in us. Secondarily is to connect. And when we connect in the act of creation, it's like having a song, getting somebody who's a drummer and you're a guitarist, you never played before. And what you end up with is conflict in the seeking of harmony. And so when you have that conflict, that's that opportunity to reflect and grow. And then the final stage is the choice to expand. And if we can choose to expand as a result of both creating and connecting, then we're on the path. And so we can take that complexity of what am I supposed to be doing as the ultimate man and or person or human. And then we can ask ourselves, am I creating? Am I connecting? And am I expanding? Then you're on the right path. So I think that somebody who has a clear understanding of that and has a really clear intent behind it to do greater good, I think that is a what I would say is a man that's on the path to be a next level man.
So just a question, that was absolutely beautiful. I took pretty extensive notes on that. This on the path to connect and the choice to expand and choosing to expand, is it simply for the act of, or is it truly to be in what the Bhagavad Gita or the Christ consciousness or many of the Buddhists talk about as the, you know, the service, right? The selfless service. Is it in serving others and the greater good, or is it in serving self?
I think it's about being present to the fact that we have the willful part of it. And we have the ability to maybe tap the accelerator on the model. But this is a long game. This is a long game with hard lessons to learn and incredible complexity and depth. And I just think we're kind of generationally in the process, slowly getting better and better. And here's why I say that, because it's the piece that really makes me think. I don't think we have the choice to expand. I think we either expand or we expand in another direction. I don't think we ever don't expand.
Agree.
Right. So
Agree.
we stumble our way into that, but with intent and purpose, we potentially have the ability to guide that expansion in the direction of like a mindfulness of humanity and greater good. But I also think that is it within people to naturally think in that way. And if not, then they'll get their great opportunity of a really dark time that creates shade, and then they'll have to expand to survive, and they'll get that opportunity to learn, or their kids will, or their next, expression of their energy will. So I look at it at a much longer term.
And do you believe the kids are coming in with this knowing already? So they don't have to go through the hard levels that we have had to at our age with the
I,
expansion of consciousness?
that's a good question. So if you're asking me in my opinion, there are a lot of people I trust that are also paying attention to what seems to be this new generation of children is hitting the ground and what they're showing up like. It's like I feel like I was born with a chisel, and these guys have a hammer, chisel, sandbrush, and a wire whisk. They got like five more tools that I didn't hit the ground with, and a connectedness that is like a serene connectedness that I didn't recognize until I noticed this generation. They have like an easy way about them, like a, I don't know, a serene connectedness is a good description of it. So I share that sentiment, but I would base it purely on like intuition, conversations with other people I love and trust that are kind of in that world. And I certainly recognize it in the youth around me, even in my own sons. So I kind of wonder where they got what they got. I don't feel super responsible.
How old are they?
19 and 17, 16,
Wow.
excuse me. Yeah.
Wow. Your boys. How isn't that pretty trippy to look at them and go, wow, that came from me.
Yeah, it's Jacob and I are in a beautiful transition right now. He's 19. He's way graduated high school 2 years early. He's got like 30 grand in the bank as a 19 year
Wow.
old because he
Wow.
saves and planning for his first home. He's like a 70 year old man in a 19 year old body, right?
Love it. I love
Yeah.
it.
And we're in this beautiful place between, I think, father and child, but definitely I recognize that it is a masculine paying attention, in that Jakin is now transitioning from that I want to be autonomous to the point of being impractical or ridiculous
Yep.
to I want my autonomy, but I'm super curious about this guy that's a lot like me with the same tendencies and what he found out worked and didn't work. He's
AKA
genuinely,
dad.
right, he's genuinely curious. So it's fun to find us in engaging conversations where he's not feeling the poke of manipulation or control or guidance. And it's just two men sitting down talking with one another in a trusting, beautiful way. It's really cool.
Amazing. It's totally different than our parents. My dad, our dad's generation, the parenting, not good or bad, just different.
Yeah, lots of telling people what to do rather than here's what I found type statements, I think I do offer my sons that blessing. But I'm curious of your answer of that question though, Bill. I'm super curious because you come at things from such another angle.
I mean, everything you said was spot on. Hey, Chris, can you say the question again, please?
Yes. What type of man do you believe the future needs?
I think you just described pretty well your son and that generation. My girls are 26, 24, 21, and they. It's there's like multi-layer sensibilities that these kids have that they can think on channels and dials that when I was their age, when we were their age, I just don't think our generation did. So I think biophysically they're actually different. For men, these boys become men, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds right now, early 40-year-olds. I think ultimately for any male, it's, and I just had this 40-minute conversation with a client, with a big boy financial client. He's like, Bill, I got to ask you some personal questions. And I went right into the belly of the beast. And I said this, and I think it applies. I'm like, listen, John, it's not his name. He's like describing like, oh, my wife's doing this and she's not listening. She's got to break out. I said, listen, you just got to keep walking into that fire. Listen to your wife. Feel your reactions of her kicking up all your insecurities, all your anger, all that stuff, your first wife and your parents and all that inner child stuff. She's just kicking it up. Go work on it and keep going back. Use her as the backboard, as the fire, as the arena, as the friction, as the Buddha says, the masculine has to be woken up by the feminine. The feminine is feminine's not always rational, but it's multilayered. It's Aquarian age. It's the return of the feminine. So for the male, we have to wake up to the return of the feminine, part of it embodied in Mother Earth, part of it mostly embodied in our opposite friendships, working on your relationship with your mom, dead or alive, doesn't matter. We have to wake up to our own little child vulnerability. The world is being run by developmentally 11-year-olds, right? You name it. Trump, Putin, like whatever, Biden, developmentally. But this next generation, when they get to the 30s and 40s, they're going to have a much more feminine, open, aware, intuitive sense of the world. And it's the return to the feminine. So Mother Earth's answering the question. Mother Earth's saying, well, men have to find the balance. Women have to find the balance. And that's what we're doing. And it's a beautiful thing, but it's hard for a lot of these younger men, boys, because it's overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting.
The vulnerability, though, is the...
What would you say women's answers to the question would be?
A man that can fucking listen. Like, shut the fuck up, stop being a little boy and listen to me. That's what women want. Listen to me. Don't solve my fucking problems. Hold space for me. Let me cathart. And I always say to my buddies, like, if the lava flows, would you jump in front of the lava? No, let the lava flow. Let it cool down.
That's funny. And to me, as a female, that's base level and innate, because the amount of listening we have to do for men on a daily basis, right? We're past being listened to. We're going to
spend 5,000 years of the patriarchy.
Men talking, right.
Scourging the earth, cutting down anything that's feminine, witches, black magic. It's all women. Yeah, because you're a little fucking boy. Grow the fuck up. Mm-hmm. Because that little boy, you need to get your ass kicked, woken up, hugged, embraced, and then brought with you. Other than that, mm-hmm. I mean, I can divide my world with my friendships or just people I meet between dudes that have checked in on their inner child and those that haven't.
Mm-hmm. Mark, that, what like, would you just, say just women deal. Would do?
What's that?
Say, oh, Mark, say what, that.
What do you believe women would ask for? Or basically state what's needed.
Yeah. Well, I think that women in their unique feminine perspective in both how they see and communicate the world has a spiritual sanctity to it. It's like one of the greatest gifts is this chance to connect between masculine and feminine, both romantically, intellectually, or otherwise. But the romantic component, the foundation of how we procreate and how we create life and how we guide life young, and those balanced looks and honoring, it does feel like we've been trying to in some ways demasculate men and masculate women. And I don't necessarily disagree with the drift towards the center so that we can have a little bit more intermingling with one another. It's very hard to take these polarized anythings and bring them to the center. So potentially, I think we're drifting closer towards the center in humanity. And I think as a part of that is that we have never, unfortunately, it seems to be cultural lore or norm to speak in a demeaning way about the natural tendency of a woman from a man's perspective. So a man spoken to another man, that's common locker room dude talk is the craziness of the lady they're with. And we do have like this kind of messed up belief structure that devalues that differing position. So my answer is I think a woman wants to be honored for her unique expression. Well, you know, she has this really beautiful, unique opportunity. If somebody would just take the time of, instead of denouncing it, that it may actually be riddled with wisdom. And I'm the first guy I would coach to do a better job of that, because sometimes I suck ass at it. So
yes, but you've come to the fore and you candidly laid yourself out on the altar and said, you know what, I gotta shut the hell up and I gotta listen. You have, and that's been a beautiful thing. And I think that's been a big part of, talk about the conversation in the green room, is why your relationship's opening up, because you're just,
yeah,
you're just allowing your
and I think this is an important distinction for both of you to hear. Not as a coaching piece, but as a really important distinction, is the difference is not that I'm listening right now so much better, but I'm actually genuinely curious. I'm genuinely curious. Because part of my problem is saying I already know what you're going to say in my mind. If I actually ask some freaking questions and discover deeper layers, then that's the greatest opportunity towards closeness. So my answer is not that I'm necessarily listening better. I'm genuinely curious.
Awesome, dude. That's awesome, Mark.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But again, I feel like I'm just scratching at the edge of that. And I have to like have myself all together and be in my greatest place. And okay, go team. Be a higher mark. Go team, be a higher mark. Be that guy you want to be.
M-A-R-C, he can do it just like me.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I fall short of that quite often. So what do you think all this gobbledygook, Kirsten?
Well, I'm still kind of contemplating this question, is what type of man do we need for the future? Right? Because currently we have a context of utilitarianism as a means to an end, as a function, and we place a greater value on that than we do on anything else, which is where, if you follow our global economic systems, it's on full utilitarianism, and we place great value on that. Right? So when I looked at, I don't know if it was Forbes or Fortune, one of them this week, was all white men in the top global money, right? And every comment in there is, where's the women? Where's the people of color? Yep. Where's, right? So there's this diversity. And going back to the question I asked, because I agreed with what you said, Mark, and the need to create, right? But I do believe creation is a feminine aspect, and the masculine aspect is taking that creation and building it, putting it into action. And I'm not talking about male, female, I'm talking about essence. Yeah. So I believe the man of the future needs to pull back and allow others to lead with.
Sure.
Rather than seeing everything as utilitarianism at the risk of just, I think of like Hitler pouncing through all of Europe just with foot soldiers on the grass with one function in mind, not caring who was going to get destroyed in the process. For me, it's and I want to be clear, and I do a lot of coaching with men and women around this, because there is a conversation about the rising of the feminine, and until we're standing in equanimity at the same place, this conversation is going to be there, right? So listening is our inherent right as God's children. That's our inherent right. So it's not only have we not been heard, but we have no opportunity to be realized at the level men do, because they still own the utilitarian bank. They own the food bank. They own the land bank. They own the business bank. So there is no place for a woman to fully be realized, which to men feels emasculating when we finally reclaim our power, because we're not giving it up this time, right? So a man I'll just finish this thought, man of the future for me is somebody who can take a back seat, for a few moments and see the greater picture in humanity or in the earth or in the universe, rather than a utilitarian means to an end, because that's why we have such war and destruction and poverty. Our greatest poverty is here in the United States.
Yep.
And we're fighting over stupid stuff, right? So, and the other thing I'll lead with is women at my age don't really want to get remarried. Because we just don't want to do it again, right? Mm-hmm. So these are things, this points to a systemic issue that the conversation is much larger than finally being listened to. I mean that, like, it really angers women when they say that. It's like, we know you heard us, but are you changing, right? Like, do right. When is my day to the sun?
Well, so, but that does play in, and I have one point of just to reply is that I do believe that women have a more natural creator that's in that feminine expression. But I do also think that you have to remember that there's three parts to the plan, and that's creation, connection, and then expansion. And that connection opportunity is also an obligation to be on the path. And so in that interaction, that's where, you know, if you're seeking harmony and you're willing to accept challenge, then you're going to take that backseat multiple times in individual skill sets, whatever that is. So I think it falls in line still with that part and still acknowledges that the act of creation in terms of energetic manifestation of something through will that you altered the course of, that is still the act of all human beings, not just the feminine energy. So I don't know if I've ever tried to mentally play with where that line is between those two and where the delineation is, other than birth and then kind of that feminine piece. But that would be an interesting thing to talk about. I've never really thought about from that angle in. So
yeah, there's a lot of spiritual texts that speak to that principle. But what I do want to say, right, when we talk about connection, this is where women's innate wisdom, connection for women isn't just a need to have a male counterpart. Mm-hmm. Women last longer not married. They live longer, not married. Men live longer married. So there's a greater need for men to be married than women. Why? Because women understand it takes a village. So we create a village naturally, right? We are community builders. That's why these small areas in Africa, when the women take hold of the business, they thrive because they feed the whole community. So we have scientific data that points to this. So to the men of the future, it would be wise to start looking at what are some of these innate skills that bring together humanitarianism for the totality of the whole. Mm. So we can all begin to thrive, because utilitarianism is leaving most of the women's children behind. Broken hearts, severed hearts.
Yeah.
Well put.
Yeah, super interesting. Very interesting, very good questions. Good dive down. I enjoyed that, you guys. I do just have a few minutes left, so I want to make sure that we get a chance before I have to bow out. Sorry for those listening. I just have a hard out this afternoon.
Yeah. So, Mark, what are your concluding thoughts? Because you brought up some beautiful things. And Bill, I'm going to ask the same question of you, because you had some beautiful points.
Yeah. You know, again, I like to entertain the complexities of life because they help me to continue to root back down to the simplicity. And so I've had a lot of really interesting check-ins with myself since I started running things through the sieve of creation, connection, and expansion, and giving myself a lot more credit of being in process, not mm-hmm. feeling like the stakes were so high, was missing the moments and being present to moments. And, you know, the fact that I could die tomorrow, and I probably wished I would have taken the day off if I knew that. Right. So that's what I would say. I think those lanes have been really good ones for me to bounce off of when I'm in the moment to say, am I where I need to be? And often I find the answer is actually yes. It's just about being present and connected and creating.
Beautiful. How about you, Bill?
What's going to be great is when all the dudes that are unconscious, they're aging out. And they're aging out over the next 10 to 15 years, right? You think about all the people that are going to be dead that are currently imposing unconscious, immature insecurity upon mass bodies of people. So, you know, the 40-year-old right now, the late 30s, early 40s, like that strata, layer of soil, humans, they're going to be running the joint in 10 or 15 years, 20 years. It's going to be fucking amazing. It's going to be so much fucking better because everything that's sentient now knows. Mother Earth knows, the trees knows, the birds knows. We know deep inside. It's all waking up. It's all have to change. It's all has to harmonize. Shit's going to have to go away and there has to be harmony back on the earth. And Mike, the whole point of that is that guys that are unconscious and over 70, hope they're going to be dead soon. And people that are 40 and 50, rock on. Let's wake our asses up. Fucking meditate and weep. Wake the fuck up. Listen to women.
You can get a Bill text in the morning. I can't believe how good it is.
Agree. Here's the thing I tell men, right? You don't have to agree with your wife. Just listen and shut the fuck up. And then come back and see how that has triggered you. It has nothing to do with her loud voice and her blah, blah, blah. It's you being triggered, your little boy. Don't overthink it. It's your little heart. And the 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds and 50-year-olds that are doing that, especially the 30 and 40-year-olds, especially the ones that I've been around or worked with, had a good conversation with the next 32-year-old kid I've known for 9 years. Like that general, like that kid's going to be, he's going to be 39 in, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, right? That kid's awake. I mean, that's like that. I'm not looking at my phone because I was speaking with this amazing young man. I worked in sales with him. Like, there's great hope. I mean, this is amazing. This is the best time ever to be on Mother Earth. In the history of humankind, in the history of Mother Earth's spinning ball 6 billion years. I want to
just add this one little piece. You're speaking of these young men.
Mark's got to go, though. Mark,
yeah, I know. 2 seconds.
No, I'm okay.
2 seconds. What I love when you're talking about these young men, because I'm thinking of my son-in-law, just the most beautiful, open, tender heart. When you say aware,
listening,
that's what's present. And my
mother
is so badass and so matriarchal. And he has no loss of power around it. Mm-hmm. He has no insecurity. He supports her rising. He's like, look, honey, if you want me to take care of the kids, if we ever have them, I don't know if I'm ever having grandkids. But he's beautiful. And he's no less emasculated. But he knows there is no stopping. My daughter is on, both of my girls are on fire. And he is what I think the future needs. Because they're both in full power and full realization of their potential. And that goes back to, Mark, what you were saying. When both are in full realization of potential, there is nobody's energy being capped. Everybody's on fire for life. So you're not fighting to have the air in the room. You're both creating the fire to push forward.
It's going to take another 10 to 12 years to burn off the retarded man DNA virus, 10 or 15 years, right? Because, you know, like my dad, that whole generation, those guys never grew up. The next one never, like in my, you know, I'm almost 60 and we're kind of grown up a little bit, but this next kid, your brother, like some of the kids my daughters have dated, these young men, like they're like so aware. They're like using words that like,
you're like, can I hang out with you all day?
It's like unbelievable. I'm like, that kid, you know, that's the kid that should be the kids in Congress and Senate and community centers and parks and, you know, and the feminine and masculine, they're just more blended now in the sense that these younger couples, it's like you said, like guys are good with whatever works, right? They already know team. They're already, it's a much more team mentality.
That's the word. Yes.
Two individuals, you know, breaking down their lives together, dragging kids through the suburbs and dealing with fucking in-laws, right? Like that's a suburban
village. I know, I'm the in-law. They're like, no, mom, you can't come every Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's a beautiful thing, man. It's just super, I mean, Mark, you said, and that's what the Buddha says. He says this, you know, you got to live as if your house is on fire. Right now, your house is on fire. What do you do? Think how focused you are. I'd be like, bing, 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 get out every day. So what's important? Like you said it perfectly. What happens if you don't wake up tonight? You have about 6 hours, daylight, whatever, to get it right. That's the way we should live our lives. Mm-hmm. Fully present, fully alive, like breathing. Every breath is like, I got 6 hours on earth left. Holy shit.
Okay, closing question. What would you do if you had 6 hours left?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Go to the ocean. I'd go to the mountain. Actually, I'm mapping it out right now. It's a damn good question. Would I get on a plane? No, I think I could get it all. Helicopter. I would probably have dinner on a high room in Manhattan, get a great view, bunker down to the, I'd probably go up to Vermont. Well, that's a great question.
What about you, Mark?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you, Brad.
I'd probably cook a steak dinner for everyone I love and sit in the room and visit with them.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well, you're much more sentimental.
I just would want to make sure I got in the words that I needed to say to everybody.
Perfect. So why don't you do that tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
That's the whole point of the whole thing, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And I think why
you know what's funny though, I got to tell you, because I think I'm the man in the crew, because I would have a fuck ton of sex. As many people as I wanted to.
Well, for you,
and
like,
I would call my kids and my mom. And I
over a 6 hour period, I would just need one shot. I'm like, I'm good.
I'm like, how many could I wrap in one session? Right?
I love that. I love that. But that's why when you think that way, when you are with the people, like that's why I'm always sentimental. That's why I'm always crying. Because I'm always like, I'm almost like I'm saying my happies, my hellos and goodbyes. Like even when I'm down to the store, like I might get emotional, right? Like we're just one breath away from not being here. We're just a little extension of this bigger thing, right? And so as being humans, it's like, I should tell my kids exactly how I feel right now. Mm-hmm. And after I go on it, I typically do all the way. And I just like, I'm always tearing up. I'm like I'll tear up right now. And if we can do that, then it doesn't matter if we die tomorrow. That's what a man like healing. As I was telling my clients, I'm like, dude, you just got to keep peeling it back. Be vulnerable. Walk into that fire. Say nothing. Walk again. Powder. The Buddha says powder. And when you all do that, and you just are fully vulnerable right now, Mark, you go to every person you have ever issued ever in your entire life, and you just lay it out to them like, listen, I am sorry. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Man, what grows from that is just crazy vulnerability. And it's like dropping seeds. And you keep walking, the seeds are popping up because you're just watered with your tears of openness and nothing left.
Okay, so we know Mark is going to walk into his marketing meeting, which he's late for now, with like open heart saying, I love you, man.
Like, I got 6 hours, bitch. We got 6 hours.
I love you all.
Okay, you guys, I got to go.
Bye.
Bye-bye.